The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
And on yesterday's program, we said we'd talk about digestive health. And I'd like to start off just mentioning that in Germany, there's a move now to ban GMO foods. I think that's a something that's happening across the European Union, and GMO foods actually does play a role in undermining digestive health. So this country, however, is trying to block. I mean, there's no movement to ban GMO foods in this country. There's a movement to ban the labeling of foods that are genetically modified. So, I mean, it's even, you know, not even, can't even get close to banning the food. They just want to ban even the labeling. Why are genetically modified foods bad? Well, they come with a lot of pesticides because those crops are heavily sprayed. And then, of course, you eat those foods and you're being exposed to pesticides, which will disrupt the microflora, the bacteria in your digestive tract. There's another category of GMOs, and they call that genetically engineered food. And the distinction between the two is that genetically engineered food has the pesticides built into the food. So they don't have to spray it. The pesticide is in it. So if you eat those foods, the genetically engineered food, you're actually consuming the pesticide directly in the food. So I guess for digestive health, we'll define a little bit how we what's required for good digestion, but right from the beginning, avoid GMO foods. You know, stick with organic. Janet?
Crucially important information, Dr. Slavin. With the GMO foods, the introduction about 20-something years ago, over that time period, we have seen a dramatic increase in the number of people complaining about gastroesophageal reflux disease and lots of people with indigestion, constipation, diarrhea, a whole range of different digestive symptoms. And for those symptoms, the medical community has both over-the-counter recommendations as well as prescription medication. And what's very, very interesting is once people get started on that medication, it's very, very difficult to ultimately acknowledge that there is an improvement and then very gradually come off the medication. And so you see that you are in this cycle with the medication of suppressing acid production in your stomach. That acid is crucial to how your digestive system is meant to work. And I'm going to say it's one of the first areas to overcome pathogens that might have been ingested in your food. So viruses or bacteria or fungus that might be contaminating food that you're consuming, the acids in your stomach typically would be eliminating the activity of those pathogens. But when you remove the acid from your stomach, that elimination doesn't take place, and you are at far greater risk for some sort of digestive dysfunction associated with those pathogens. Dr. Slavin?
Janet, I think the quest for digestive health begins after the person has been to the gastroenterologist. Now, you may go to the gastroenterologist because of certain symptoms you have, heartburn, belching, bloating, constipation, diarrhea. If you've seen a primary care doctor and he's checked your stool for blood, maybe they saw a little blood. So typically, you wind up at the gastroenterologist. He does his upper and lower endoscopies, and he doesn't see anything that he can really act upon. He might see a little inflammation in the upper GI tract, you know, a gastritis. Sometimes with the colonoscopy, you might see some diverticulosis or hemorrhoids. You know, assuming he doesn't see anything more serious, like an ulcer or a polyps or cancer, you know, and that's the majority of people, by the way. They go for these workups and they don't really find the more serious conditions that would need attention. Now they're back to square one. They've got these symptoms, and I'm not sure the gastroenterologist really addressed them. They just tell you, okay, everything is all right. You know, take this acid blocker, probably what they use the most of, and that's it. So we're going to talk about ways to try and maintain gastrointestinal health. So we mentioned you have to avoid things that undermine your digestive tract. So we said genetically modified foods because of the high pesticide content, and that can disrupt things. But there are other things you have to avoid. So before we get into what you need to take, let's talk about what you need to avoid. And so you know that things can, what upsets your GI tract. Antibiotics. Try to avoid them as much as you can. It's admitted by the medical establishment they're overprescribed anyway. So only use them. Ask your doctor, do I really need an antibiotic? Or at the first sign of a cold, you know, don't take an antibiotic right away. Most of the time, it's a viral infection anyway. You can use, you know, high doses of vitamin D, for example. There are various herbs that could be tried. A lot of more natural approaches that can go into it. So, you know, so you try to avoid the antibiotics. Other things that disrupt the digestive tract bacteria are chlorinated and fluoridated water. You know, you have to avoid that. Now, it's not as easy as it sounds because you can stop drinking water from the tap, or you can purify the water in your house that you're drinking from. And, you know, I'm finding also more and more restaurants are serving purified water, which is a good thing. Probably a subtle admission that the purification that the cities do is not adequate. The other problem, though, is the produce that you consume and the meats and poultry that you consume, did those animals eat? I mean, drink or were exposed to chlorinated and fluoridated water. That may be a source, and nobody really talks about that too much. And remember, Janet, I always ask the question, how can you get antibiotics without a prescription?
I always remember that line, Dr. Slavin.
Uh-huh. And that's and you get that from eating conventionally raised meats and other animal products because they're given low-dose antibiotics. Plus, they're given genetically engineered grains. We've talked about that. That's another. So those animals are being made sick just by the way they're raised. And that's going to have an effect on your own digestive tract. You want to avoid processed foods because they come with excessive sugars along with other nutrients that really are a negative instead of a positive. And the sugars in particular feed the unwanted bacteria in your digestive tract. And not just bacteria, but also yeast that might be present. And you want to avoid the chemicals like glyphosate, but that's found in the genetically modified food. So that would be the first step to ensure a healthy digestive tract. Try to avoid those things. Janet?
the sweetener issue is a very, very big one, and I'm going to pick on one in particular, and it is Splenda, also known as sucralose. What people need to understand is the sucralose is three molecules of chlorine, that very thing that you're trying to filter out of your water, and one molecule of sucrose. And so that combination, you're going to really confuse your liver by consuming the sucralose with that chlorine content. It's damaging to your liver. Unfortunately, when it is combined, it does not necessarily stimulate the pancreas to release insulin so that the insulin can drive the sucrose component of that combination into the cell to generate energy. Unfortunately, the chlorine acts literally as a poison in your body. So consequently, that sucralose moves through your body. Your body tries to get it out very, very quickly. When that is an interference in normal digestive chemistry, it is such a significant problem because people have been marketed the sucralose and told that it comes from sugar. So it's natural and it's safe. And so people need to be aware of putting that little yellow packet in their iced tea, in their coffee, and different drinks they might be making. The other part of it is when they're looking at processed food that says not sugar-free, but rather no sugar added. That's kind of how it's marketed. And so people look at that and they think, okay, they look at the small print, how many grams of sugar in this product, and it says zero, and they say, shoo, I am home free. But literally, they are poisoning themselves. Dr. Slavin?
All right, so now one last thing I didn't mention is food sensitivities. So that can undermine your digestive health if you're consuming foods that your body really can't tolerate well. And there are two categories that are pretty much universal as far as people having trouble with, and that's milk products and grains, particularly wheat products. They can create problems. So the first thing I tell people is to take those out of your diet for about a week or so and see if you notice an improvement.
It's very interesting, Dr. Slavin, because if you think about the milk products, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, the homogenization process and the pasteurization. It literally wipes out the enzymes present in the dairy products, and being homogenized, it interferes with the normal fat distribution of the molecules through the milk product. I hear music.
And that means it's time for us to take a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. With me this morning is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we'll be back right after this.
Current medical treatment addresses problems and symptoms when your ship of health has gone aground, hit the shoals of disease, so to speak. Now, advanced medical testing helps to guide you through the stormy seas of disease. The information from high-tech lab tests such as Doctor's Data, Spectracell, Cleveland Heart Lab, Access, Health Diagnostics Laboratory, and Genova. These advanced tests assist you and your doctor to navigate the treacherous waters of disease development. Call 754-216-2332 to find out more, or visit amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., right here on this station.
I recognize that music. It means we're back. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining me today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, as she joins me every day. We're talking about digestive health, and we left off saying that, there are certain things you need to avoid because they undermine your health. And we talked about genetically modified foods, chlorine and fluoride in the water, antibiotics, not just by prescription, by the way. If you're not getting antibiotic-free meat and poultry, that may be a source of an antibiotic. And so, you know, that's the first step. Then the second step is avoid certain food groups that can be a problem for a lot of people, the milk products and grain. So, you know, and by the way, I have to preface all this. This is probably after you've been to the gastroenterologist, and he's done his upper gastro endoscopy and upper GI endoscopy and lower GI endoscopy to make sure there's nothing more serious present. And that's the more common case where they don't find something more serious. It's usually a functional disorder that that needs to be addressed. They don't have too much in the way of prescriptions for that problem. They have the acid blockers. Sometimes they have medication that'll affect motility, or constipation. It'll give you, you know, certain chemical laxatives, which is probably not a good thing. If you're constipated, that opens up a whole new topic of all the possible causes of that. But it really starts off with the food you eat. If you're not eating the right foods or even too much of the right foods, you can create that problem for yourself. But I think grains are a major contributor to constipation, even though they say, oh, they're high in fiber, because that's what you've been told, you know, eat lots of fiber. But if you're eating a food that your body really doesn't like, it's going to disrupt the normal function of your digestive tract. Constipation is one of the consequences of that. So digestion begins in the mouth. So we mentioned everything, and you're doing everything right, and you still have issues. You got to make sure you're chewing your food properly. You want to make sure you're not overeating. That's going to create a problem as well. And then there are digestive enzymes that can be helpful in correcting digestion problems. And Janet, you want to talk a little bit about those?
Okay. People can start with the most gentle approach, and that would be some of the plant source enzymes, like papaya enzyme. There are different formulas with papaya enzyme, and then some papaya with added chlorophyll. So that would be the most gentle. Bromelain would be another example of a food source digestive enzyme, very, very gentle, usually available in chewable little tablets that people can take after a meal. Very, very soothing and supporting to good digestion. But if you're dealing with some serious digestive issues, if you're dealing with reflux, heartburn, indigestion, any of those symptoms that you mentioned, Dr. Slavin, in my opinion, the papaya and the bromelain are not necessarily going to achieve the benefit that people are looking for. Really, what you need is a comprehensive digestive enzyme formula. And so you would go into the products that are going to contain protease, amylase, lactase, for And you know, so people hearing me say lactase, they may say, well, that's just for people who have trouble digesting dairy products. But it goes far beyond trouble digesting dairy products. What you're doing by ingesting these things is supporting the integrity of your digestive system. And that is an absolutely critical aspect of this discussion. So you can have these things in a papaya or bromelain base. You can have them in a variety of different strengths. And what's really, really important, as you mentioned, Dr. Slavin, is chewing your food. But to have also the balance between raw food and cooked food. And it's an absolutely important aspect of supporting your digestive system that you have a sufficient amount of raw food in your diet. And that raw food provides enzymes from the food itself. One of the things that I suggest when people are in deep trouble with their digestive system is to eliminate raw foods for about 2 weeks. Another recommendation that I make is no microwaves. Dr. Slavin?
Well, yeah, I think no microwaves, only from the standpoint it probably destroys any of the nutritional value in the food. And interestingly enough, too, if I recall, wasn't there a study on watering plants with microwaved water and the plants didn't thrive after the water was microwaved?
That is so true, and it's a study that I routinely quote to people who come to see me. Very important to understand that you are destroying the molecular structure, the natural molecular structure of the food that you're consuming when you microwave those foods. And when you understand that those fluids are going to be part of the nourishing power of the food, when you understand that disturbing molecular structure has a negative impact on your own digestive system integrity, then you understand that microwaving is not a health-supporting approach. It's interesting because I was discussing this with some people at one of the lectures that I did this week, and the people said to me, well, just heating up something, that's okay. And I said, no, indeed, it is very destructive. And so heat things up very, very gently and quickly on the top of your stove. You're really not going to save that much time by using the microwave.
But they look so nice in your kitchen.
They do, right. It's part of that high-tech kitchen that we all really like.
Right, it's decorative. okay, so we're talking digestive health. Now, there are some tests you can do, and we're going to get into some of the functional tests that you can get, you can have done to evaluate your digestive tract. And the question is when to use them. Sometimes they're not covered by insurance, so... I like basically, to try this approach first before we resort to testing. Because in most cases, if you do the things we're talking about, you're going to see a marked improvement in how you feel. But if you're just not responding to what we're doing, there may be some other functional issues that need to be addressed, like overgrowth of yeast, a dysbiosis, meaning the bacteria in your digestive tract are all out of balance. Well, you may have picked up a parasite. You know, we used to, in training, medical training, we used to, they say part of the history you take from a patient, have you left the country because you may pick up some exotic disease there. We don't have to ask that question anymore because you don't have to go anywhere to get exotic diseases. You can stay right here in this country. So that always has to be kept in mind as well. So we mentioned digestive enzymes. Now, there are certain foods that can be helpful as well to treat some of the symptoms or help your body get over the symptoms. Janet, what are your comments about aloe vera?
Okay. A critically important addition for someone who's dealing with digestive issues. Aloe vera is soothing, anti-inflammatory, so very, very gentle and calming to inflamed digestive system tissue. Very, very supportive of liver function. And so people say, well, you know, it's my upper digestive tract, it's my stomach, I don't have any problems with my liver. The truth is, when your liver is functioning very well, then the rest of your digestive tract tends to improve, that function improves as well. Very, very important to understand that you are looking at the whole digestive tract. You're not looking at simply one part of your digestive system. And that's, I think, a failure of our mainstream medical community, that very often, unfortunately, they separate humans into these different sections of body parts, and they fail to recognize that this is an integrated system, that one function impacts the quality of a function elsewhere in the body. So aloe vera is this complete support to digestive system function. It will enhance elimination. It sets the background for proliferation of beneficial bacteria in the lower digestive tract, in the small intestine and in the colon. It improves liver function and it soothes that upper digestive system irritation as well. And then in the mouth, you're going to enhance the quality of the enzymes that are produced in your saliva. Very, very important. As you mentioned, Dr. Slavin, talking about digestion, how important it is to chew your food properly. You know, there are different natural movements that say, okay, you chew your food 30 times or 40 times. You put your fork down in between bites while you chew, just to be very mindful of chewing for an extended period of time. The truth of the matter is, I tell people, chew your food until your mouth is empty. That will probably bring about a very important improvement in your digestive health.
Well, I like to say it a different way. I say chew your food to liquid, because if you chew your food till your mouth is empty, that may allow people to swallow their food before it's liquid.
Aha.
And, okay, before we take this break, just a quick note with aloe vera. It could be effective against yeast infections, parasites, as mentioned, constipation. It can also be a component in treating H. pylori bacteria, and it's been used in irritable bowel syndrome as well. Right now we have to take a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine introduces holistic and comprehensive ways to maintain your health, maintain your energy and immunity, your flexibility and your wellness. The team of specialists at the Institute of Advanced Medicine offer all the services to enhance and support all categories of function, health, and well-being. You can call 954 954-748-4991 to make an appointment today. 954-748-4991.
And that music means we're back. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining me today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We're talking about digestive health, and we were mentioning how effective taking an aloe vera can be. Comes in liquid forms or in encapsulated forms. The encapsulated forms frequently come with other ingredients, like deglycerinated licorice, for example, and perhaps they put in glutamine sometimes. Johnny, you have a comment on some of those products?
I certainly do. It's really important for people to understand that the deglycerinated process for the licorice is very important, because if you take a straight licorice herbal extract, you have the potential to, number one, raise your blood pressure. So that is not across the board. Some people might be more susceptible to it than others. The other aspect of it is more of an issue, in my opinion, is the impact that the licorice may have on your hormones. It has a very, very strong hormonal effect. So you would want to be sure to take the deglycerinated form of licorice, DGL, very much available in different wafers. The recommendation for how you should use those wafers is chew a wafer, one or two wafers, before maybe 10 to 20 minutes before a meal. That's going to help to reduce the spasms in the upper digestive system. So if you're dealing with reflux spasms, hiatal hernia, that kind of thing, those spasms very, very much are reduced with the use of DGL. The glutamine is very important, and it's interesting because I have recommended a number of months ago to one of my clients, and she's done very, very nicely on the glutamine, and she was suggesting it to a friend that he might come and speak to me and find out about using glutamine for his very significant digestive problems. And so he was unsure. He doesn't know me, and so he went to his physician and said it was suggested to him to try glutamine for his digestive issues. And the doctor said, no, don't do it. Glutamine is solely for bodybuilders. It's meant to improve muscle growth during a workout, and not at all something that he should use as a digestive system support or assist. And so I just finished sending them a series of different emails detailing the research on glutamine. Glutamine can have such an important healing effect on ulcers, on irritation all through the digestive system. It actually begins the repair process. When we talk about the digestive system, we have to mention that the cells lining the digestive system have a very, very quick turnover rate. So the potential to heal your digestive system in a relatively short period of time is very, very great. So using glutamine as an anti-inflammatory, as a repair process, literally as something that can wipe out the whole development process of ulcers. It has been known and researched to heal ulcers. So glutamine is, in my opinion, one of the first go-to substances to heal digestive system problems. And the reason that it's one of my first choices to begin using for digestive problems is, number one, it's very easy to use. It comes in a powder form. If you can't find the powder form, you can buy the capsules, open the capsules, put it in a little bit of water and sip it slowly. Very, very healing for your digestive tract. And when people are dealing with very unpleasant symptoms of dysfunction in their digestive tract, because of the ability to heal so quickly, it's very effective using the glutamine. Dr. Slavin?
Yeah, there's another product or substance that's mentioned here, which I don't have any experience with. I wonder if you do, and that's bone broth.
Oh, that very interesting that you should mention it, because one of the things that I was sending to my clients was the list of foods that's very, very high in glutamine. And bone broth is at the top of the list. So there are any number of different commercially prepared bone broths available. And then it's relatively easy to make your own bone broth. And there are a number of different websites, the instructions on the best way to make bone broth. My suggestion is, as you cautioned people at the first part of the show, Dr. Slavin, and being certain to choose organic meat, poultry, and wild-caught fish, not to go into the areas where these protein sources might have been exposed to antibiotics or growth hormones or pesticides. So organically raised, grass-grazed is even best. If you go into those areas to get the bones, and then it's a very, very slow process, very slow simmer, and it can be several hours, it can be 24 hours. The longer you prepare the bone broth, the more benefit you're going to get from your bone broth. But it's one of the highest in glutamine content.
Another area to consider, and I think other countries and their natural diets probably include this category more than we do, and that's fermented vegetables.
Okay, fermented vegetables, so crucially important. One of my favorite recommendations is if you want to support your immune system, if you want to keep yourself free of whatever the virus is that's circulating in the population and you don't want to get sick, very important, a little bit of fermented vegetables. I just say sauerkraut. So you want a high quality refrigerated organic sauerkraut, a tablespoon or two a day. You can mix it in with other foods. You can just take it off a spoon as you would take a little bit of medicine. And you're going to do so much to support your immune system. You're supporting your immune system by allowing the beneficial bacteria the ability to proliferate in your lower digestive tract.
And under the same, context of fermented vegetables would be kefir and coconut kefir.
Absolutely lovely. People who have a sensitivity to dairy products sometimes are a little cautious, a little concerned about adding that to their diet. There are all sorts of organic kefirs available in the health food store, and very, very good tasting. You can mix it into other foods. So many different ways to add that into your diet. And those are full of probiotics, absolutely full of the substances that are going to enhance your digestive system as well as support the immune function so that you're not vulnerable to viruses, bacteria, or fungus. And that content is so crucially important. And unfortunately, it is content that isn't necessarily readily available in our typical American diet. So very, very important.
Well, yeah, kefir is something that I don't use personally, but maybe I'll try it. It's just that you see it. Yeah, I've seen it in health food stores. You just, if you're not familiar with it, you don't really know how to use it. How would somebody, if they see it on the shelf, how would they use it?
It's just like drinkable yogurt. That's all. So they can add it to if they're having cereal. They can add it to cereal instead of having cereal with milk or cereal with yogurt. So it's kind of like halfway between the yogurt consistency and the liquid of milk. It's a thick, thick liquid. You can mix some flavored kefir, sweetened kefir, into plain yogurt. You can put kefir over some berries. That is an absolutely delicious way. You're getting a dessert kind of taste, but you're doing it with very, very high quality components that are specifically health supporting.
Okay, some of the other things that should be added to one's diet just on a regular basis. We mentioned the importance of glutamine. One of the a good source of glutamine in its natural form is red cabbage. You mentioned the sauerkraut. Isn't that fermented cabbage?
Absolutely. I am cautious about recommending cabbage very, very broadly, because that is a vegetable that O blood type really shouldn't have on a regular basis. So there are all sorts of other fermented vegetables that do the same thing. The sauerkraut, if you're having, if you're O blood type and you're having the sauerkraut, you can have a spoonful of it. I would tell you 3 times a week. You wouldn't have it day after day after day after day. And if you are O blood type and you want to be using a fermented vegetable on a daily basis, choose a mix of other vegetables, not simply cabbage.
Or stay with the sauerkraut.
Well, the sauerkraut is cabbage.
Right, but it's better tolerated than raw cabbage.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now, one of the foods that's been getting a lot of publicity lately, and it's really a good combination, not just for digestive health, but just for health in general, are chia seeds. And I guess we'll talk a little bit about chia seeds when we come back, because that's something, you know, that if you haven't tried it in any of your food, you can eat them whole, or you can put them in the smoothies, a good source of many nutrients, which we'll talk about when we come back. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with us today is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. If you're in search of the fountain of youth, if you're trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy, there are 3 main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through my counseling sessions, I work with clients and manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. I can help you maintain optimal health that will keep you looking and feeling young again. I provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. So schedule your appointment today, JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait, your clock is ticking.
And we're back. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with us today is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we've been talking about digestive health, and this is the final segment of the program. So we're going to finish up on chia seeds, because I think that could be a great addition to anybody's food intake, because it can be used in so many ways. It's a great source of fiber, 10 grams of fiber in just 2 tablespoons of chia seeds. And believe it or not, I guess you can believe it, there have been recipe books written revolving strictly around chia seeds. So it's a really a good approach, a good addition to your diet. It's and by the way, it's gluten-free, so it's good for people with celiac disease, gluten intolerance. Can use it in all different ways and get the nutrients from it. So what do they call it, Janet? Chia seeds was like the... in the Mayan culture, very popular, or Aztecs, used chia seeds because it was a great energy food.
Okay, that was the Stump the Nutritionist question.
Oh, you hadn't heard that. Okay.
No.
All right, now, earlier in the program, I mentioned about testing for, to evaluate your digestive tract. And they have that. It's interesting that mainstream medicine really doesn't do anything like this. It's called a comprehensive digestive stool analysis. Now, parts of this test is done by mainstream medicine, for example, looking for parasites or for, certain bacteria. But the mainstream medicine really doesn't get into looking for yeast too much or looking for dysbiosis, an imbalance of bacteria. A lot of times you want to know, do you have the right balance of bacteria in your digestive tract? In other words, enough of the friendly bacteria and only small amounts of what we would say is bacteria that's normally found in the gut but really aren't the ones you want a lot of. And then you have the ones that you definitely don't want in the gut. They get there because with exposure, and we tried to point out just how easy it is to disrupt the normal bacteria in your digestive tract from the if you're drinking tap water, if you're eating meats from animals that have been fed or given antibiotics, and that's used a lot, so you have to really look for that, antibiotic-free meat and poultry. So it's really easy to upset the gut. If you're not consuming organic fruits and vegetables, then you're probably consuming more pesticides than you'd like, and that's going to disrupt the bacteria in your gut. So the comprehensive digestive stool analysis looks at all that. It also looks to see if there is incompletely digested food in the stool, and that's a sign your digestive tract isn't working well. So when all else fails and you're still, and the doctor is still stumped or the healthcare practitioner, you want to look at that, because this will help point you in the right direction. You may have a parasite, and sometimes you have to take stronger actions to deal with the parasite. I think a big area of concern that is pretty much ignored by mainstream medicine is a yeast overgrowth in the digestive tract. Do you have any comments on that, Janet?
I certainly do. I think that, unfortunately, far too many medical practitioners are almost still in the mode of denying that there is such a thing as a fungal overgrowth. And they won't necessarily attribute the issues that someone is having to the overgrowth of different types of yeast. Very, very important information for people to understand that by using a probiotic, they're going to enhance the quality of the bacteria in the gut and minimize the possibility of negative overgrowth. And that was one of the focuses of the development of the product that I have. Janabiotic, you have it on your shelf in your office, Dr. Slavin. That Janabiotic, if people go to Janazon.com, they can see the complete list of all of the different components in the Janabiotic. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have 500 billion, 100 billion, even 40 or 80 billion. The mix of the components, in my opinion, is what's so important. And each one of these different beneficial bacteria provides a different aspect of support to digestive health and immune health. So very, very important to have that beneficial probiotic support for your digestive tract. And that is one of the main ways of reducing the possibility that there can be a fungal overgrowth. Dr. Slavin?
Just a couple other points. Trying to understand how you can have a yeast overgrowth or a fungal overgrowth in your digestive tract, I always point out to the condition that is acceptable by mainstream medicine, and that's a vaginal yeast infection after a woman has been taking an antibiotic. You know, so I don't know why they have a difficulty in understanding the possibility of a fungal overgrowth in the digestive tract. Here's something to keep in mind. There is a product called Saccharomyces pylori, which is a type of yeast, and if you're taking an antibiotic for one reason or another, you take that along with it, that will also lower the possibility of getting a candida overgrowth, because the candida in high amounts becomes a pathological yeast. You know, our bodies do have small amounts of candida, and that's why it can get out of control, because when you kill off all the bacteria when you're taking antibiotics, that allows the yeast to grow out of control. Just think of your yard outside with the grass, and if you were to put down something that killed the grass, you'd be left with weeds growing all over the place. So that's the same thing with our digestive tract. You want to promote the growth of the friendly bacteria and discourage the growth of unwanted bacteria and yeasts. The concept of the problem with parasites is completely different. If you have symptoms that simply won't go away, then you have to do the tests looking for that. And, of course, that's included in the comprehensive digestive stool analysis. If your doctor isn't aware of that test or doesn't know how to order it, of course, Advanced Medical Testing Centers routinely provides that test to patients from various labs that do it. So in summary, I guess the most important things is try to avoid this condition of digestive malfunction in the first place rather than having to deal with it once it occurs. So I guess, again, tops on the list is avoid antibiotics, not just from the prescriptions, but from the foods you're eating, like you know, meats and poultry that are, where they're grown in the factory farms and are given antibiotics routinely. Also, those animals are fed the genetically engineered grains, so they're getting exposed to, you know, high doses of pesticides, which also disrupt their gut flora and can create issues. Avoid excess sugar. In fact, avoid all artificial sweeteners. And if you're going to use a sweetener, I guess we give the green light to stevia. But I also say have organic sugar, you know, just to pay attention to the amount you have. And think about the beverages you're drinking. Now, I don't have the answer to this, Janet. Maybe you do. If you were to buy, and by the way, you should only be drinking bottled water. Forget about all the specialty drinks out there that are sweetened. But I'm not going to assume, but I'm not sure, that they're using purified water that would be chlorine-free and fluoride-free. Do you know whether that's true or not, Janet?
Well, Well, you can look at the small print on the back of the bottle, and they will tell you, number one, the source of the water. Sometimes it's a very deep aquifer. Sometimes they do say that it is filtered. Sometimes they say that it is reverse osmosis distilled. There's a variety of different descriptions that the different drink manufacturers would have on the back of their bottles.
Yeah. Well, Janet, what I meant was, how about Gatorade? A lot of people are drinking that. Are they using purified water?
That's what I was about to get to. There is a manufacturer that I'm aware of, and the plant where they have located in order to produce the Gatorade is in a location where there is very, very high quality water. And I just wanted to, first of all, tell everybody that I am in Delray Beach from 11 to 2 today, and I'm available to see people to answer their questions on health and diet and so on. And that this whole discussion we've had, that was kind of behind the development of Janna Juice and Janna Biotic that's available at Dr. Slavin's office and Greenlands. It supports the integrity of your digestive system. Dr. Slavin?
All right. I'd like to thank our listeners for listening to Natural Doc Radio. We're here every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. With me is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The